I just gotta let Gordon hang on.
And there goes Gareth to let Gordon. Dun 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 dun. Don't know how long this is going to take. As you can see, the green.
All right, all right, all right. Sorry, he was locked out. I know. Simpiwe is here. I'm here. You're here. Gordo's here. Look at this. What's up, my dude?
How is he, Gordo?
Bald Gord.
Yeah, it's been that way.
I'm still getting used to this. I mean, it's been, I know you've been on the show, you said in the notes, like 7 years since the first appearance.
Yeah, it's crazy. I thought it was 2017. I don't know when in 2017. I think about May.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Time is so weird. I think it's a thing with getting older, but also in particular the kind of 5, 6, 7 years I've had, especially the last 5 years. So I was like, it's not new anymore doing the show with you, you know. I still
but you're thin gourd, you're bald gourd, you're chain gourd. I mean, there's like a lot's different.
Yeah, it just really, it doesn't feel like 7 years, but at the same time, it feels like 20. So I remember arriving at the old studio in Rivonia and being like excited, nervous, but also annoyed because I had to get up so early. And then we decided to sort of immerse with a full week. You were like, yeah, cool, you're going to try being on the show, we're going to do the whole week, and then from there we'll see if we have you come back. And Ben gave me so much shit, and then yeah, we decided once a week, and for the next three and a half years I did most Wednesdays. I would occasionally have to take breaks because of the nature of my work and that kind of thing. It was about 4 out of 5 on average. And then, yeah, before COVID started, or just after COVID started, doing full-time job, and I couldn't do it every week anymore. And
that, I mean, Carl says you're starting to look like Benjamin Button. It's like you're aging backwards, which is a good thing. So your bald head is more amazing than mine, Laws, says Duds. All right. So lots of cool things. So I was thinking about the last time I was in Cape Town, and we went out for drinks. We ended up doing a karaoke night, and ooh, we were with those two girls who, yes, I know, and
they got very, very loose.
Jesus, it was bad. It was fucking crazy. No, Simpiwe, it's not always dirty. Not always dirty.
No,
it was hilarious, though.
It was child-minding to a point, but we had a fat jaw. Gareth sang a song. What was it that you sang again?
I can't remember.
Some sort of old classic.
And one of the girls got up there and did like Cyndi Lauper or something.
Mm. Two particularly beautiful, and it's really anecdotal, it doesn't change their value, but two particularly good-looking friends, yeah, of Gareth.
No, it does matter. The value goes up.
No, it just, we were out, two really beautiful girls. This just does circle back to a point of mine. I had just parted ways with a lady I'd been dating for about 6, 7 months. So like a nice enough lady, just didn't work out. She turned out to be quite hard work, but this is not like, I dated a terrible woman. But I had recently split up with her, and I posted pictures. Now, first of all, I was dragged out. I was very happy to see you, but I was like, Gareth, I don't drink, I'm old. You've texted me at 9, I've got to come for a drink. Okay, I'll come for a drink. So then after the drinks, it's like 11:30. Gareth's like, where are we going next? Suggestions. I'm like, well, right by me, there's a karaoke place. Perfect, because I can just go home when you guys decide to go to the next step.
Superior, you see, I have to do this with people. I have to keep them young, or else they'll get boring and old very quickly.
You know, the
idea was that karaoke.
Oh,
listen,
show,
we can't hear
some people. That's only the same location. Shout out.
And also, I mean, like, karaoke's fun.
Yes, but the theory was, after having a couple of drinks at a bar on Kloof, I think, we were going to finish at karaoke, and then I live 1 kilometer from there, so I'm just going to, if they decide to carry on partying, I'll go home. So now these two ladies, one of whom I've known for quite a long time and is an absolute legend, they get properly loose. And they're like, no, you have to come back to the other side of to CBD and continue jawling with us. And then this one in particular lives also near me, so I can sort of chaperone her home after one more drink. We end up in Gareth's penthouse suite, and there's booze and there's everything, and Gareth sits us down, he has one drink, and after 25 minutes he's like, I'm going to bed. And then I'm there with two women getting utterly, utterly loose. And the one just won't go. I'm like, yeah, am I dropping you on the way home? No, just one more, just one more. Eventually it's 2:30. Point is, I post a picture of Gareth, me, and these two ladies, a surprise night out. And Yassi, this one that I just split up with, wrote me an essay a week later. No, apparently I had posted a picture of myself, found the two most beautiful women in the whole club, posted a picture of myself, A, going out late, which I didn't like to do, when I was with her on a weeknight.
But it was her you didn't want to go out with.
No. I mean, I just don't go out. I seldom stay up past midnight. And so I had found two very beautiful women and made a point of posting that I'm out and about and living my best life. And I was like, Gareth just caused me a series of problems.
I understand why she's mad at you. Like, you don't do that. After a breakup, you can't go out with good-looking woman. Like, of course she knows that she's maybe okay, but like now it's two girls that are much more hotter than you, and you doing all the things that you supposedly didn't want to do.
So I'm hearing that it's okay if you go out with ugly fucking gorgon trolls, but if you go out with pretty girls, that's not good.
This is my ego, because I'm like, oh yeah, I was the best that he could do. Vele, I'm pretty, can't do better. Now he's doing better. And he's out and about living his best life.
I wasn't holding anyone's bum. I was in a photo. It's me, Gareth, and two women.
I
got dragged out by Gareth, but it was nice to see him.
Oh, man.
It was fun, though, dude. It was a good night.
Even understand the truth. In her world, in her mind, you did
better. I was texting everyone I know. Does anyone want to do anything on this Tuesday night? I'm desperate to get out. P.S. Do you know a place with hot girls?
that's like most guys in South Africa on any given night. Like, I'm desperate to go out. Do you know some place with hot girls?
Yeah, do you have any hot girlfriends? Drag them out as well.
I've got this one mate who he is constantly trying to find like just some beautiful girl, just to be with her. Just like
that's everyone.
Yeah, obviously. But this guy, he pretty much builds his whole existence around it. Right?
Okay,
so. If you find out that there's some place somewhere, and Joburg's pretty slim pickings.
No, Joburg has got some of the hottest women in the world.
No, but I mean, like, where do you go? Like, there isn't a place.
Oh, for a jaw. Yeah, there's Melville if you want a jaw with young people getting
people
off their balls.
People meet everybody on here now, which is so lame. Mm. It's lame.
Dude, I'm out of the loop, though. Like, you know, when we first met, well, not when we first met. That was like 20 years ago. When we first started doing the show 2017, if you'd asked me, like, where do you, you'd be like, we want pasta and drum and bass and low lighting and people of 23 to 27 in this LSM income group. And I'd be like, well, here's a selection of places. How late do you want to stay out?
Right.
Whereas now, like, I can't. People are like, have you been to like Jasper's? And I'm like, no, where DJ Curryface is playing. And I'm like, never heard of it. Like, dude, I don't know. Like, what religious denomination do you want the jewel to be? Yeah, but Joburg has beautiful women.
Most of them talk like this. Shans, you know what? I tell you what. I went to Tash's. I had a reservation. And then they told me I have to wait 15 minutes for a table. It's outrageous. Tash's in the giant parking lot of Nicolway.
But they are good looking.
It is amazing to me how in Joburg, the view doesn't matter fucking all, right?
No.
But in Cape Town, the view is the most important thing. So someone will actually move, and you worked in Cape Town for a while now. So occasionally you'll have to actually do meetings with people.
Well, the majority of work I've done in Cape Town, almost all of it has been remote.
Like, okay, but every now and then you have to meet with someone.
Yes, like now.
And in Cape Town, when you go to meet someone, to me, I don't care where it is. It's like whatever's convenient.
Easy.
Because we need to talk. We need to discuss whatever it is that we're there to meet about, which is usually work-related. We're not going to sit and shoot the breeze for fucking an hour. And it doesn't matter to me what the view is like, right? But Capetonians are obsessed with this. You'll get a message from them 15 minutes before the meeting, 20 minutes before the meeting, and they'll go, oh, listen, it's so beautiful in Hart Bay. Shouldn't we meet there instead? You're like, no, I didn't come here for that.
Yeah. I'm not really like, you know, I live in Sea Point, which visually is like very mixed. You've got like squalor and feces river going down the street. And then one block away, it's like the most beautiful beaches that you can imagine. They're too cold to swim in. But
and a 40 million rand house.
Yeah, exactly. And a 40 million rand house. And then a 20 million rand house being knocked down to build a 60 million rand house. Mm-hmm. I literally once saw a photo that said that the caption was Cape Town in a nutshell. And there was a homeless person sleeping with their back against a Ferrari. And that was in Seaport. The photo, I was like, clearly that's Seaport. So for me, like, it's like dating a supermodel. It's really, really good fun once visually it's still impactful. But when that wears off, you realize she's stupid and doesn't know how to fuck. But I love Cape Town. I don't really travel for the views.
You're a Joburg guy, and this is what I was saying at the beginning, is even though you've been in Cape Town for a while now, you're probably still there. We'll go, you're from Joburg, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'll always be from Joburg. You only get to grow up in one place. But I'm not one of these people that has to hate the one to love the other. I did move to Cape Town.
You can have both. You're not an idiot.
Yeah, I lived my whole life in Joburg. When I was 31, 32, I moved to Cape Town for 4 years, then back to Joburg for 5 years, and now I've been here for 3 years. The maths of that doesn't matter. The point is that I did the live here for 4 years and then move home thing. I've never been like, as soon as I land in Cape Town, I'm like, oh, this is paradise. Joburg was such a shithole.
Yeah.
Joburg's home, it's got a lot of downs, but a lot of ups. I have found, though, that my relationship with Joburg versus Cape Town entirely depends on my weight. Cape Town's a brilliant place if you don't mind being out in the sun, if you don't mind walking, if you don't mind never being able to park near where you're going. If you like being hot, Cape Town's great. If you want to park next to or under your house, walk straight into your house, drive to work, park under your office, go to the shops, park under the shops. There's parking in Joburg, and you're never forced to be outside.
Well, to the point that I was going to raise, and Simpiwe, you'll know this is true because it happens on the East Rand too. You don't care what you're looking at. They literally will go to a restaurant in Joburg.
Parking.
I say they, we, right? And Yonder's giving me shit here in the comments too, saying, sounding like you're obsessed with bashing Cape Town. No, I was actually about to bash Joburg.
Nice.
So Joburg, people will, they'll go to some fancy restaurant and they'll sit looking at a car park with like a car guard as your only entertainment. Yeah. And we'll be fine with that in Joburg.
Like Nicolway is the example I always use. But I think it's changed names to something else.
The main, all the restaurants look straight
on. It's a strip mall. It's like a two-story strip mall. But it is. I mean, that's not a disparaging term. It's a mall that flanks a parking lot. So one of my sort of regular places, people are like, where should we go, Chow? I'm like, well, Turn and Tender is always a winner. I've always liked it. And it's in Nicolway. It's reasonably nearby. Mm-hmm. And it's in the parking lot. With those gray bricks that are squiggly shaped, parking bricks. And also there's Tashas where you have to go and chow.
Yes.
I've always hated Tashas. My own personal opinion, I'm sure they're a lovely establishment, don't sue me. But I've always personally despised Tashas because they don't have an apostrophe in their name. And I've asked so many people, they're like, so how many Tashas are there? Like, it's such a stupid grammar nerd problem to have, but it irritates me.
So you're the most grammar Nazi person.
Used to be. I let it slide.
No, I don't mind it.
What happened?
So Sims, you know how Ben and I were talking with you earlier about how in fact it was Carl who corrected me. Carl the Carl DeSantos in the comments. So you can help me with this because he's a shit teacher. He says I always get fewer and less mixed up.
Yes. I mean, I don't agree you get it mixed up, but that is a common thing to get mixed up.
What is the rule?
Fewer is numerical. So 7 is fewer than 10. So if we're trying to split up a pile of marbles, but in the marble case, it's less. And so less is quantifiable.
But so is fewer.
Yeah, but it's sorry, that's not the best way to describe it. Less is
I think you're making this worse.
No, put in less energy. Make less effort. We're not going to count it. Whereas fewer is there's a lower amount.
Can you use it in
so it's less?
Yes, less works in many cases, but there are cases where fewer works only.
No, Stims? Sentence. No, I need a sentence. This is, I feel like it's a spelling
bee. How about the rule with me and I in a sentence? So yesterday, Simpiwe and I went to the shops.
If we're eating cake and you want to decide how many slices of cake to take and you take 5, and so I say, listen, perhaps you should have fewer slices of cake. That works because now you must have 4. Whereas if you're munching on a piece of cake and I'm like,
you should have
less of that. Don't finish the whole piece of cake. Don't eat so much cake in a day. But less will work in both cases in some contexts.
Suddenly the whole of the comment section has turned into my fucking linguistics professor.
Carol Berry's got it quite nicely there. Less water, fewer sweets. But you could also say less candy. or less sweet.
Do you understand why I get a
That's a really minor one. And you said, like, I'm a grammar Nazi. And also, I always prefer grammar pedant, because what being anal and painful and a dickhead about grammar. No, and
you're a grammar enthusiast.
Well, that as well. But if you want to say someone's a cock about grammar, fine. But don't compare me to, like, a race-related genocidal fascist regime.
But that's because of the bald head and the tattoos.
Yeah, I do look like a football hooligan.
You look like a football hooligan.
By accident.
Yes.
So I used to be a cock about it. I used to, people on social media making spelling mistakes, I'd be like, you're a fucking moron. Now it's like, dude, spell however you want, but don't condescend about how much smarter you are than someone and how you know so much more about a complicated topic without being able to spell.
But there is a famous Frenchman, Saint-Pierre, who they were going to cut his head off, the Marquis de something, de Nuit or something. They were going to cut his head off. And he said,
they had to read the charges.
They had to read the charges. And as they read the charges, he said, well, I noticed about five grammar.
I noticed at least three spelling errors.
And that was, and then they cut off his head. And I'm like, wow, he's my new patron saint.
Yeah. So I don't bother about it unless it's your I don't bother about it unless it's your job. If your job is to be able to write and you don't know the rules, then I get very irritated. Also, if you've got a restaurant or a website and you know that you don't know how to spell, person knows if they know how an apostrophe works. So if you go, do I actually know how apostrophes work? I'm not sure. Like, everyone's got a cousin that can read and write. Check it with them. Muchachos signboards not only have errors, but they'll say fajitas, apostrophe S. 3 fajitas, no apostrophe, $40. 8 fajita, apostrophe S. So
there's no consistency.
So I know I don't know how it works. I'm like, shit, I don't know how these work. Let's just use them differently every second time. I can't eat there.
So Gord did say at the beginning of this, just to point out that you're not as fucking chilled as you think you are. He did say he hates to, he despises, were the words he used, tashes, because they don't have an apostrophe.
But that problem started 10, 15 years ago when this was a big issue for me. You know, you're like one bad experience that stays with you forever. And I won't never go there. I won't refuse to eat there. I'm just like, one tasha, many tashes. What does this mean?
But then, unless you're an English teacher or a language professor, it doesn't really matter in the bigger scheme.
I agree. That's how I see it now. But if it's your job or it's in your marketing, I know a lot of people who are copywriters.
Hubba says, my spelling is great.
I work in this industry and I know a lot of people who have writer in their name, copywriter, social media writer, creative writer.
Author.
And they don't know.
Author.
Speaking of which, dude, I brought you a new book.
You got a new book?
I made a new book. You're going to love this. Here's your copy.
Fuck, Joe. God, this is fucking cool.
This is
man.
A low content book. I'm trying to game Amazon to make money. And I thought, what is the easiest kind of diary I can make? And it was about tripping.
So what's the idea here, though?
Amazon's super saturated with millions of people doing this. But if you pump out enough of them, you can make a nice passive income. You take acid or shrooms or ayahuasca or whatever, and then you write your experience in it.
That's so brilliant.
So I was.
But you've got a lot of experiences here.
It's too many.
Lot of drugs.
My next one, I'm going to make it fewer pages. So that I can
fewer yes, or less.
So that you get, I have to pay for less pages. But I was trying to teach myself to do it. With my other books, I've had layout designers help me. I've had graphic designers. So I learned Midjourney for the cover to learn AI art, and then learned layout software to plot the inside, and then learned to publish it on my own. It was like a practice
this
exercise.
Is genius. All right. So Simpiwe, you do a trip. Let's say you
don't
do
start
shrooms.
On part three. They're the same. There's like part one.
Okay. So. Let's say you're going to do shrooms, Simply. Mm-hmm. It's the first time you've ever done shrooms.
Or the eighth.
First, location and setting. So I'll try and think of when I did. It was probably a guided journey. What happened? Did you almost
sat back and realized this is not that kind of chair.
So it was a guided thing with a shaman and everything at a house in Stellenbosch somewhere. Mm. It's beautiful. Companions, so these are people I work with. My intentions.
It's got like three lines where you fill in under these headings.
So you have to fill in my intentions for this journey. I actually just go, I go into anything like that with it. Just
open mind.
Teach me.
So yours would be like experiencing something new, open mind,
Don't die.
Curiosity. Blah, blah, blah. Right. My life situation going into this journey. Now, you'd have to be very open about that. You'd have to be like, I had an uncle fondle me when I was a child.
Well, it's not your entire history. It's more like what is happening with your life now. Like,
Where am I?
What are you dealing with? Where are you at?
Right. I like my work, but it could be better.
I've got stress. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. A message to my future self as we begin.
It's a lot of waffly shit. I mean, as I said, I'm trying to sell a product. This is not one of my...
But this is a lot of journeys.
The idea, you've got like space in there for 20, and I'm going to make a shorter one.
Most intense experience of the journey. Any entities encountered?
So you get 6 pages per trip. A double page spread for before, where you fill in about 10 things. Then during, it's just blank pages. You can draw an elephant or whatever. And then afterwards, you fill in again what happened and how it was. So how was your mushroom trip, dude?
It was good, but I mean, I've had a couple of really interesting experiences, and I feel like it was. I always think these things are beneficial. Certainly for me, they have been. I'm not a regular.
Neither.
And I don't recreationally do it very easily.
Yeah.
To me, it's a thing that if you want to take things to another level, you want to get better at stuff, you want to figure out what's holding you back in some way, I would recommend, but I'm no doctor, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that people who've never experienced this, just there's always going to be a curiosity about it.
I think
it would be a good idea.
I do it very seldom. I can go 3 years without it and then do it twice in a year or whatever. But also acid mushrooms. And again, like purely experientially,
acid,
but this is where I was going. Like, I've got a controversial opinion in that I find maybe 20% of people I talk about it agree with me and the others disagree. Everyone sees mushrooms as like, it's a safer thing. It's a more chilled thing. It can go wrong, but it's not likely to. Whereas acid is like gambling with the devil. Mushrooms are they're way scarier. Like you are on a roller coaster with way more rickety wheels when you take a lot of shrooms than you are if you take some acid. Acid can go bad if you take too much and then one of your friends breaks their leg and you have to get them helicopter airlifted. It'll be pretty traumatic. But acid is like singing hymns of love to the universe. Mushrooms, roller coaster ride through
So this is beautiful. I know you said you designed the cover, but I don't see your name anywhere.
No. It's a product. It's called Word Life Publishing.
I see Word Life. Like, this is the logo for Gord's publishing company, which is quite cool.
Wow.
But I think this is brilliant.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Well done.
And the drugs thing, like, when I say drugs, I don't consider hallucinogenics drugs. I consider them, I don't want to use a hippie term, but it's, I suppose you could say alternative medicine, which is dick, I know, but it's not, they're not drugs. That's purely, I was like, I'm making a product. This could have been like bestie journaling for girls. I was trying to just do a practice one. And off the top of my head, I was like, okay, well, on Amazon, there's not a lot of options for trip journals, so I'll make one.
Someone, Clint from the Val, brings up Ronnie's sex shop. Hey, Gord.
Yeah, I've always had a fascination with Ronnie's sex shop. I've never been in, but apparently it's not actually a sex shop.
What happens is it then?
It's a restaurant or something. I don't know. It's a coffee place.
Really?
Yeah, Clint, dude, what is Ronnie's actually?
Simpiwe, have you ever been to Ronnie's sex shop?
No, but I'm saying if it's not a sex shop, then why?
Well,
no.
It's a landmark on the way to Hada Beer Sport or Sun City or something, yeah.
I don't know. Here we go. One of the actives in mushrooms is Shmiodmt.
No, 5-HMEODMT.
Sorry, I thought it was Shmiodmt.
Shmiodmt.
No, I think the major... ingredient in those shrooms is psilocybin. That's the thing that kind of gets you going.
I tried,
and with LSD, it's obviously...
I tried the 5-HMEODMT on like a really, it's meant to be, this was years ago, I wanted to try it. Joe Rogan talks about it a lot. I had some friends do it. They said it was an incredible experience. And I had a friend organize it. Me, two friends, safe space. We had enough for 2 hits each and a spare hit in case anything goes wrong. My one buddy did 2, had 2 of the most profound experiences of his life. It was profound just watching it.
Really?
Yeah, the other one, I had both of mine and the spare one, and absolutely nothing happened to me.
So the shmiodimit did fuck all for you.
I did a bit of research, and apparently, like, a medication that I take is an inhibitor for it. But other research, because Google will always contradict itself, said, like, there is no immunity, no, like, nothing can stop it working.
So there is, there's always the possibility that, and this is, again, coming from people that know more about this than I do, that you sometimes are not going to get, like, any kind of experience. It's going to feel like nothing happened. Yeah,
three times I did nothing happen. My face got warm.
Either because you're in balance at that moment.
Doubted.
Or that you are not ready for the next step. You know, that's what the shamans will tell you.
Fuck, I was eager.
I know.
I don't know about ready, but eager.
Bitcoin Butt says your pineal gland produces natural DMT. Not bad to give it a top up. Well, yeah. So this helps you to sleep. You know, Simpiwe, that feeling when you're daydreaming. And you fall in and out of sleep, and you have these very vivid hallucinogenic kind of experiences. Everybody can have these. That's sort of what the DMT experience is meant to give you, but obviously a much more like immersive, to use another word that's overused.
You also have natural inhibitors. So this stuff is floating around your bloodstream anyway, but so are other chemicals your body makes that prevent it from like lobbing you into another dimension. And when the various ways that you could, it's in a lot of plant substances. So it's in ayahuasca, it's in changa and various other things that I haven't tried.
It's called dimethyltryptamine.
Yes, that's the that's why the one I had, the 5-MeH,
the
Shmiyovinit 5-MHO, that is the concentrate.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing that most people don't know. In Africa, it's often been chewed in acacia bark. Like there's sangomas who've been using it for years too, shamans in South America. But the thing with DMT is you also need to have something that releases an enzyme which stops it from being blocked. So
yes,
in other words, if you just took the pure stuff, your brain wouldn't necessarily take it up unless you also took...
Yeah, it's in your body all the time anyway. And then in certain states, like falling asleep and when you have a near-death experience, your body pumps it out to make you like euphoric so that you don't get... so that you can die peacefully. Your body's ability to not absorb it, you can bypass the little toll gate that prevents this shit from going straight into your soul. But I've never successfully done it. I've tried it once. It didn't work.
So shmiodimit is maybe not for you.
5-HMEO, something like that. But I just want the record to reflect that, like, it sounds like I'm the oak that's walking around on acid all the time and making products about drugs. I don't do drugs. I vape and drink diet soda. Those are the only two things I do that are bad for me. Aside from working in the industry with Gareth.
Like, seriously, stop vaping.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to. I'm on a mission to stop at the moment. Listen, I really, really do want to stop.
Vaping is fucking horrible.
I'm desperate to vape. It's in my pocket right now.
It's hard. Go for it.
Can I vape over there?
Yeah, no, do it here. Do it here while we're doing the show. Watch. He's going to... That's so bad. Oh,
For shame. For shame. Ding, 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 shame.
So, okay.
I used to proudly chain smoke weed. Remember, we've been doing this for 7 years now, on and off. I used to proudly chain smoke weed on the show. When we had to do it, like, I loved doing the Wednesday show with you, but I fucking hated getting up early and then driving in the traffic.
You still hate
getting
up.
This is fine.
So, all right, here's Yonder says, Ronnie's sex shop is on Route 62, has some sex toys, but it's like a stall in the middle of nowhere.
So it is a random sex shop. Halfway to Hearties. I thought it was a clever name for a coffee place. So Ronnie opened a sex shop in a small Afrikaans town that needed one. And it's got a giant sign outside.
Let me tell you something. And Simpiwe, you'll back me up on this too, because I think we had a couple of conversations. You know, they still do that Sexpo.
Yo, dude, I had such a cuck experience working at one of those.
Okay, but before you tell us yours.
Not in sex.
Every time I've ever been, and I used to like, MC the thing.
At sex, but sorry, please continue.
So I did see what I mean. My trip journal, it's gone really well until Gord kept interrupting my trip.
Sorry.
So I had to MC the like party at the end or whatever, and they had this event and you would see couples, but like old Afrikaans couples.
Yeah.
The woman's where the mom, the Tani, is wearing a blouse.
Bob that goes forward.
She's got the centurion hairstyle, right? She's wearing a blouse with flowers on it.
Blowers, we call that.
Blowers. And the husband is wearing like fellies and chinos and a two-tone felt focus shirt. And they got a packet full of fucking toys.
Yeah.
Yes, Simpiwe.
Dildo with a hand at the end.
And black couples, old black ladies, walking out of there with their husbands hand in hand. No, you can see they're planning a big night.
Bless them.
I loved it. I mean, to me, it's obviously revolting to think about what's going to happen because you look at them and you're like, gross.
No, but more power to
me. I'm not saying to you.
Yeah, you don't want to visualize them.
I don't want to visualize them boning.
Them doing that, good.
But I'm happy for them. And like, I suddenly realized South Africa, we've got this whole thing about being super conservative.
Yeah, some of us.
No, to each other in public. People are. They don't want to do embarrassing things. They don't want to be seen to be doing embarrassing things. But man, when the lights go out, most South Africans are down and
dirty. There was an oak there that was there, and I haven't been for almost a decade, but I used to end up going there for work purposes and curiosity. So I had two stories. So first story of mine is I went there, and I took mushrooms. And me and my buddy, let's call him Korn because he likes that band and we won't expose you. So me and Korn go and we take it.
Location, Sexpo.
It was in Midrand and it was just after an off-ramp. So we're arriving. We are theoretically 5 minutes away. And we're like, okay, let's take these shrooms we've got so they're kicking when we get there. And gridlock. We couldn't find a parking. As we're trying to park, we are snot coming out of our nose. We're laughing hysterically. Now we're panicking because we can't stop laughing. We're not enjoying laughing. We're like, please, can I breathe? Trying to park. We get in. There was a famous porn star. I don't know if she's still operational, but there's a famous porn star called, I think, Caden Cross. She's like world famous. A friend of mine they're there for that. They're getting a paid appearance. Two very famous porn stars, like Hollywood level, and my one friend who works in marketing is like looking after them, handling them. She calls me.
Imagine being a porn star wrangler.
She calls me and she goes, listen, Gord, they want to go out and jawl after this. I bumped into you. I know you're here. Would you and your friends take them on a jawl? I said, no. I'm going to my one buddy's after this. I was like, I'm tripping balls. I was like, not interested. I'm going out to like a hippie place. And I regretted that quite badly afterwards.
Gord is the only guy in the world who would have said no to that.
I was off my balls. The next day, I was quite regretful. I wanted to go watch a rock band with my friends. And they're not even welcome to join.
Have you ever been Sim?
No, I've not.
Conservative.
It's gotten dingy though.
Look, I can't speak for it in the last 5 or 6 years, but it's still going.
Well, please, nobody sue me if I get this wrong, but it was started or at least taken to the height of its power by the same people who used to be involved in Verymark, who then started EFC Africa, the butt cage fighting thing. And they sold it at the height of its power to somebody else.
I think that's right.
And I then worked at the, like, so after it got sold, speaking of butt cage fighting, I used to be the ladies and gentlemen introducing now, fighting out of the red corner. Gareth Cliff is a mixed martial artist.
Remember that.
I did that for EFC Africa, and then they fucked me over so badly, and I stopped doing it. So now Sexpo gets new sketchy people owning it, and they're putting on like a once-off high-budget MMA event, and they asked me to come and announce it, and I say yes. And it was such a dog show. It was so bad, and the cage collapsed mid-fight. They had like half the fights before they called it off. The referee wasn't qualified. The one oak got beaten senseless, and they didn't stop the fight. And a dude that I know is very respectable in MMA was asked to come and commentate. He walked out, and then mid-fight, the cage collapsed with dudes in it. And they brought out all these Australian and New Zealand fighters, and they all had to get paid for not having to have a fight. And that was Sexpo after the Verymark guys, who allegedly may or may not have been the guys. I'm not sure, I think.
So Carl says he had his bachelor party 12 years ago on the same weekend as Sexpo. All the decent strippers were there, so my best man could only get two grannies with oven plate areolas. The one beat me so hard.
You'll never forget that now.
And Lee reckons it would have been great if you'd taken Ron Jeremy out while tripping balls.
No, that, I would have taken him. That would have been fun. But, yeah, strippers and bachelor parties. I don't enjoy strippers. I never have. I don't like strip clubs. I refuse to go if someone, but when I was like in my 20s, you go for it, it's been maybe five times. It's the most expensive way to have a wank. because you can't do anything. You become insanely aroused at R1,000 a shot, and you can't just like sort yourself out. Whereas online,
that's not the point. It is, and it's gross.
The drinks are $100. You can't do anything with these belters. You feel bad that they. No, it's gross. So I have always disliked strippers at bachelors. My one friend gets married. We got a Hearties. We rent one of these stay the night, Joel in seclusion places. We all take mushrooms, small amounts. And we're having a fat Joel, but there's been a stripper booked.
Hearties.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's been
a stripper booked. The bachelor wants it over with. Don't worry, she's arriving at 9. They've chosen her from the best man and the groomsmen oaks that put this together have chosen it. We can't get properly loose until the stripper comes and goes to tick the box. Doesn't arrive. Start getting WhatsApp on our way. Sorry, we're having
strippers
a problem.
Strippers are very unreliable.
Dude, the wrong stripper arrives. They were like 3 hours late. She had this like boyfriend handler, definite meth, not maybe, not giving meth vibes. I know when you on the most amphetamines. I know the look. I know the facial
and the teeth.
The teeth, definite meth. They like, and then we like, this isn't candy from the website. No. She couldn't make it. I'm the backup. And I'm like, no, but we don't. We texted you 3 hours ago.
Imagine being the backup stripper.
We texted you 3 hours ago and said, you know, you're late. If you're still on the way, don't come. You're not replying to your messages. And then that we just refused. We were like, you're not the person we ordered. We're not paying for this. You're 2 or 3 hours late. It's literally like 12:30. They're meant to be there at 10. And sent them packing. And then the guy's like, please, can I just at least then have R100 for petrol? And if we can whip out R100, we're like, take R200 for fucking
just
off.
Get out. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that was the last. I was just like, strippers is myth.
Well, I reckon that there is very little in the world that's more embarrassing than being the boyfriend of the backup stripper.
Yeah. Pimping backup strippers is not a great life choice.
That's terrible, right? Oh, geez, Gord, you look so good, says Alice, my dog.
Thank you.
Great having you on the show again, Gord Groove.
Yeah, I love being on the show. I try and regroup with Gareth more often, but our timing's always bad. He messages me and I'm like, dude, I'm on a deadline, sometimes for companies Gareth's involved with, sometimes for others. Like, I'm pulling late nights. I can't do this week. Can we do the week
Shut
after
Shut up, no
next?
One cares.
No, we just, the will is there.
Can I like to have a few rant to get back to Boxburg? Ach, please, man. Hey, don't knock the East Rand. Some people get fucking cross.
Alice Cliff, is that?
It's my dog.
Okay.
She's learned to type.
And she thinks I look good. Thanks, Alice.
She does. Gord, you have definitely been in Mavericks, as you know the cost for a private dance.
Never been in Mavericks. Friends have tried to drag me out, and I used to live 100.
Come on, man. I've been in Mavericks.
Never once. In Joburg,
You're so full of shit.
Of course you have. I swear on my life.
Oh, please.
I just haven't.
What a lot of crap.
I'm not pretending I haven't been to strip clubs. In Joburg, I've done several teasers. I've done the Grand. I've done the Titty Twister. By the time I first moved to Cape Town, I was over it. But I lived literally one block.
Look at Simpue's face.
The
Titty Twister was before the Grand. The same guy, Andrew, who owns
a couple blocks away.
And the Hawks shut him down there.
That place was the best.
It was like, so cool.
Out of all the strip clubs I don't enjoy, that one was the best. And they had a you paid this high fee to get in, but it included free all you can eat. And the food was separate from the strippers.
Still is at the Grand.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah. The food was separate from the strippers. And there would be occasionally a stripper in there eating. They wore like gowns and stuff. So it was almost like having a restaurant next to the strip club as opposed to a restaurant. And the food was banging. It was buffet. And like you had to use tongs.
Let me tell you something.
It was so good.
Let me tell you. The teppanyaki steak that they make at the Grand. Now I think it's
I think it's 1,500.
Listen, Simpiwe. It's R1,500 to get in. So it's expensive. But you can eat let me tell you,
I'm ignorant. What is a teppanyaki steak? What do they do to a steak
got
to
they've
teppanyaki?
Got a chef. The guy he puts all the stuff on and he cooks it on the you know like the thing they use to make breakfasts in fancy hotels.
The flat griddle jaw.
Right. He does this beautiful like fillet steak on there, and then he mixes it up with some other stuff.
He's
a chef. He drizzles this fucking sauce over it. Let me tell you something.
Drizzling sauce in a strip club is frowned upon, Gareth.
It's spectacular. It's like some of the best food you will ever have in your life. Was that your alarm to wake you up?
That's why, if you're not awake by now, shit yourself alarm, yeah.
Carl says, only very poor people think that a buffet is banging. Buffets are so cuck. Okay, but...
Yeah, but when you... I was in my morbidly obese stoner phase. So when they put out 40 buckets of good food and say, have as much as you want, I used to take it as a challenge. Yeah, I could barely breathe, but I could eat.
And Pumlani says, what did you get for 50 Rand at the Golden Curtain, Gareth? Now, do you know what the Golden Curtain is? Simpiwe, do you know?
No.
I told this story years ago when we were doing Idols. We went to PE. And it was when Colin Moss was still the presenter. And Randall and I and the producer, a guy called Carl Olin, and Colin, we decided to go to this place. Someone said to us, the only place that's open now is a strip club called the Golden Curtain. Okay, so we were like,
okay.
Yeah. When in Rome.
What do they mean by curtain? Because so, in a strip club, that could mean a lot.
That could mean a lot, right? So we get there, Simpiwe, and there's like a queue of 10 people. So I'm like, wow, this place must be good, right?
Outside.
In PE, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. You just should have just said strip club in PE. I would have visualized.
You should have heard it in the beginning. Okay, so we get to the front door. This, it will be tattooed on the inside of my skull for the rest of my life. You know how much entrance was?
20 bucks.
7 Rand.
Oh, specifically 7.
Not 5, not 10, but 7 Rand.
Because I obviously had to increase it. It was 5 for a long time, but then it's like, oh, it's overheads.
So we got to the front of the queue and there were still 10 people behind us. And I'm like, for 7 Rand, I'm paying for all of y'all. So I was
bawling. What year?
This is ages ago. I think probably 2008.
Because even when you turned 18 and were going for the celebration of finally being able to go be allowed legally, that was cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
It was still cheap.
But it was super cheap
in 1998.
And a horrible, horrible quality of strippers. I wouldn't try the food.
What do you expect for 7 Rand?
Oh. Yeah, of course. But I'll never forget it, right? Like sometimes the worst places you go to, you never forget. They make more of an impression on you than the best. I've been to clubs in New York. I've been to like Mediterranean islands. I've been to amazing fucking places. But the funniest and the best stories
You've
come from
the planet.
I haven't. There's no strip clubs, actual clubs. But the Golden Curtain, man.
So why was it? Was it every bit as bad as you were?
Horrible.
Women giving birth inside.
I hope you didn't catch nothing, girls.
Tattoos uncovered.
They were
discharged.
They were old, worn out, uninspiring, not particularly pleasant.
That's
to
what
look
you
at
look
strippers.
For in a stripper is inspiration. You want an inspiring stripper.
Yes, you do. You want one who's not going to complain about her financial situation for a start, okay?
Oh, dude, back in the Lolly Jackson teasers days, when we used to work at FHM, we would get invited to every event they ever did in the hopes of publicity. And we went once that I can remember, possibly twice, because we actually were a lot sort of more hardworking and like we took the job seriously and it was hard work, but we did have a lot of fun. And the one time they did a charity thing where they were, so our publisher, the sort
charity.
Of,
the, yeah, a they, charity
no, they had a charity, they had a charity event.
And we're going to have this, let's for all the children with encephalitis today, we're going to get together.
I didn't ask for an audit of where the money went, but the tables were expensive. The drinks were expensive, but our boss came with us and he left early. But before he left, he was like, guys, this is tax deductible. So within reason, go big. We spent 20K on the company in like 2006.
Oh.
And the strippers there were of like, I'm like, why are you a stripper? Why don't you just like model for a living and make more money? But the one kind of, we had a good vibe with the one. She sat with us. We sort of had a proper like legitimately friendly vibe. And after her shift was done, she sat with us and had a few drinks. None of us had any hope of hooking up. She was going on about her billionaire fiance all the time, but she told us what she made. And this was like 2006. She was making 100 to 200 grand a month, but she was world class.
But now prostitution is all online, right? And obviously there's a difference between prostitutes and strippers, but Simpiwe, you saw this story. We talked about this woman last year already. Who tried to like sleep with 100 men in 24 hours or whatever. Now it's 1,000 and something, right?
Yeah, but
men
like
in
now,
24 hours.
Listen.
Yes, that's her goal for Feb. I don't know if she's still gonna do it because apparently
24 hours.
In 24 hours. Some other OnlyFans content creator has beat her to it and has slept with like 1,000 and like.
But that must just be like stick it in next week, stick it in next week, stick it in. Like, how do you even, how much time per oak is that? Can someone maths that? So let's call it, let's use 25 because it's easier. So there's four 25s.
Yeah, let's get a calculator. Yeah. We'll do this properly.
So it's 24 divided by 60. We'll get the other amount. Okay. Or 24 times 60. 24 times 60. That gives you how many minutes?
You've got 1,440 minutes.
So you've got 1.5 minutes per dude. And that includes switching them up, having at least a wee every 4 hours and something to eat in the midway point. Like, you have 1 minute per dude if you don't sleep. Well, that's enough for me.
It's crazy because you
I can help with this. No, I wasn't
one guy at a time. But homegirl was like, no, I'm going to beat the system and have like group sessions at a time.
Group sessions is possible, but only if
sex. But Sims, I always feel like what would it do to my self-esteem if I was guy number 999?
You'd feel, well, you'd look down on guy 1,000 and be like, loser. You're like, fucking loser.
Oh, Gareth, her friend already did 1,000 men in 12 hours.
No, but that's literally a dude like arrives, sticks in once, next
arrives, sticks in once. Okay. Yeah, it just sounds terrible. Gareth, when looking for a perfect stripper, would I be proud if this is my daughter? So much inspiration.
Yeah, they are. Some of them are inspiring. But dude, earning 100 to 200, call it 150 grand a month in 2006 or 7. That's proper now, but it's properly proper then. I mean, I can't look down at somebody who's like, they retired at 26 and now collect Ferraris.
It's costly. Yeah. Never mind your self-esteem. Imagine that vagina. What a fucking mess.
Hey.
What were you going to say, Sims?
No, but I'm saying that the top OnlyFan content creators, they're earning like $20, $60 million.
Yeah, I think it's $40 million, the biggest earner recently. And she looks like, I only saw this like in passing as a headline where I didn't read the story, but I saw the lady in question and she looked like she was 18, 19. And not to me particularly like unbelievably attractive. This wasn't like the most beautiful woman
I've ever
seen.
I feel sorry for, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, I feel sorry for what we would now probably call the traditional strippers.
Yes.
You know, the kind who go to the
analog
clubs.
Strippers.
Yeah, analog ones. The ones that we were talking about earlier, that you would go to a place
get
and
get a booby rubbed against your cheek.
I mean, I kind of feel like they're like the horse cart before the car came along.
Yeah, but as of yet, the screen still can't rub a warm booby against your cheek. So
they'll always be
they'll
room
always
for them.
Have that. Yeah,
they'll always be horses. Like
yes, yeah. There still are horses. They're just not mainstream. But do you remember like when? I mean, of course, you wouldn't ever have known anything firsthand. But have you heard stories about when porn was like a physical product and you had to have like a little hidden trommel for it in your cupboard where you had to hide it because it was on VHS and DVDs?
Now, I think we were lucky enough, thank God, to have been born after that. But
yeah, our Kulani still caused my bestie Kulani, who Gareth has met a lot of times, is just a mess, but I love him. He caused the most embarrassing event of my life through physical product porn. We had been on the dole. So I had a housekeeper that was like, she worked for my family for years. She still works for other people in my family. She's retiring soon. She's like heaven sent and I adore her. I'd grown up since I was 8 with this housekeeper. And then once a week she would come to like where I had my first place of my own in my 20s and do a Sunday. I was often there hungover. There'd be friends passed out on the couch and she just knew to like ignore us and do a thing around us. And if there was a place she couldn't do because someone was there, just carry on. And so Kulani knows where my limited but perfectly normal supply of this stuff, where my few DVDs are. We pass out after the duel. He goes and gets one and puts it on and then passes out. And the DVD menu screen on a DVD was like, it has like chapters, special features, play, behind the scenes. And it just loops the most intense screen. So I wake up at 1 p.m., hungover. Kulani's still sleeping on the couch. I'm like, why is there intense group porn on the screen? But the house is spotless. Spotless.
And I've never been able to look the housekeeper in the eyes again. And I see her every time I visit my brother.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Yeah, all Kuladi.
So according to Yonda, it's not true that that woman had 1,000. None of them have accomplished that. So it's yet to be, this Everest must yet be summited. None of them have accomplished that. She tried to do this, and after 50 guys, she gave up and started crying. Well, that would be normal, actually. And apparently her cuck boyfriend was sitting next to her and discussing the men that entered. Oh, that's
because we joke, but this stuff actually does make me feel it's not cool. It's exploitative.
Gross, man.
And one's like Candy, whatever her real name was, but like that was her stage name. I'll never forget. She was probably one of the hottest women I've ever seen in real life at the
traditional
at Lolly's charity
analog
event. She was like in that rare echelon where like, you are the one in 1,000 that can actually finance, like, buy luxury vehicles for cash. The rest of it, it's just, like, very exploitative, and you get the feeling this person would rather be doing anything else. And that's why I don't like strip clubs. I lived one block from Mavericks. I lived on the corner of Batenkant and Rulant in an apartment building for 4 years. I walked past Maverick every time I went for a coffee at Haas. I've ranted to you before about Truth Coffee and how terrible experiences I've had there and how they claim voted best coffee shop in the world, but I've never been invited to vote in the coffee elections. So I would walk past Cuck Truth and then go have coffee at Haas, which was the next place, and walk past Mavericks 3 times a week and never wanted to go there.
So, all right, you're busy with stuff like this, and let's just give this a plug again because I think there are lots of people who...
Yeah,
it's very fashionable and cool these days to... talk about your last journey.
Yeah, I'm trying to capitalize on that. Like, again, I'm not in the industry of promoting. I'm trying to practice.
I love it. I'm promoting it for you.
Yeah,
you don't have to say
it's on Amazon, not in South Africa, but around everywhere else in the world. If you search Trip Journal, you'll find like 3 or 4 results, and you look for the one that's got this cover if you want to buy one. But I'm trying to make I do my own writing, and actual stories and books that I write is a separate thing. I'm trying to make product books, like journals for people to write in, exercise books, stuff that's not a personal reflection of my. So you know about the kids' books, totally a separate thing. The next one I'm going to make is word circle things, because apparently that's still huge.
But like Sudoku?
Find the word.
For word.
Because I've got a piece of software that generates them. So you theme them and you design it nicely. You make the letters big for old people. It's making products.
I'm just trying to think of the last couple, because we always do this when you're on the show with me, is we look at the last few things we've sent each other on Instagram, which is always hilarious.
We say we always do it. We've done it like twice before.
It's funny though, right? Do you want to know, Sims?
I want to know. What's going on in the DMs?
So here's a picture of Jesus of Methlehem. That was what God sent me this week.
A couple of Instagram jewels.
Probably the best thing that you'll see today. In 2017, a group of developers hilariously competed for who could create the worst volume control interface in the world. The results... I don't know
if anyone can see, but yeah, the difficult ways to control the volume. Yeah, because... The one is you have to shout at it for the volume you want. And the other one, the volume bar's on a seesaw, and every time you tilt it, the ball rolls. You had to see it. Share it as a story on your Instagram.
What a good idea.
Because it's cuck funny. It doesn't translate well to podcast. But share it as one of your stories. I thoroughly enjoy your stories. They're either funny or insightful or highly judgmental.
This was fascinating. And again, this goes back to our love of language, right? Merriam-Webster posted this. Something interesting you might not have realized. A number of words in English are nouns when you stress the first syllable, but verbs when you stress the second. Your conduct is better when you conduct yourself appropriately. Conduct being the same word. You stress the first and it becomes like a noun, and you stress the second.
More examples to follow.
Right. And then here's an always thank someone for a present they present to you.
Yeah. With that insult, you insult my intelligence. There's another one, and I'll get this wrong, but we subconsciously, without ever being taught in English, order adjectives according to category. So you'd never say a green, big, old truck. It's to be a big old green truck. Your brain does that automatically. There's like 6 categories of adjective, and you always order them right.
Size comes first.
Yeah, age.
Age.
A couple of other
color.
Yeah. An old green big truck just doesn't work.
It doesn't,
right? It makes total sense, but it doesn't work. And there's better examples of a sentence where you can use six adjectives in the wrong order and you're just like, no to that. But you get them in the right order and it works.
I love it. Okay, we're out of time, guys. I can't believe it. We're 8 o'clock already.
Crap ass.
This is so much fun.
Yeah,
it's dude, it's great, and it's nice to actually be in the room with you, hasn't happened for ages. Mm. Sims, thank you for sitting by idly while we had to talk about filthy things.
Sorry, we're this way. Yeah.
It's fine.
And we will see you on Monday.
I also don't think I've done a show with Sims before, and I see you in lots of the content.
Simpiwa's been on this show now for some time.
Yeah, but I don't know if I've done one live with you, and if I have, it was when I used to smoke weed and do it in my lounge.
She's the OG. And by the way, you don't know this, but Simpiwa took off like a couple of months in last year. She had a baby.
Oh, muzzle.
Yeah. Very
thank
cool.
You.
Muzzle. Are you sleeping at all? Because you got to do this at like 4 a.m.
Barely.
I still wish, dude, with the internet and the fact that probably significantly more of your listeners are podcasts, are download and stream than they are mm-hmm. live. I just wish you would start doing this. Do an 8 to 10 show for the love of God. Then I'll do it every day.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll think about that. We've made enough changes in the last while. The audience are up to here with me.
I want to do my own show and I want to do it on the real
network. Ah, please. Someone said earlier, when is that podcast coming along? They've given up on you.
Yeah, because it's hard to set it up on your own.
It's hard for you to stick to anything.
Fair point.
Yeah, there we go.
Except for maybe losing 220 kilos. 120
again,
kilos.
Again, like now that I'm actually sitting here with you. Love it. All right, Sims, we'll see you next week. And cheers, everybody. Have a good weekend. And make
thanks
sure
for
you don't
me,
do
guys.
Any horrible, horrible things at a place called the Golden Curtain.
Don't ever go, even if $7 feels like a great deal. It's probably like 12 by now with inflation.
Well, I think they've got to keep their prices low in PE. Let's
say, well,
be
it's
fair.
The same women, so you don't necessarily have to give them raises.
No, you come for the strippers, you stay for the drinks.
You stay for the atmosphere, yeah. Bet you the curtain wasn't real gold.
No, it wasn't.
Plated at best.
No, it wasn't. All right. Cheers, everybody. Bye.